Every year, there are thousands of cases that are appealed to the Supreme Court, but ultimately, the court only hears about 80 cases, which means a lot of big decisions are being made one level lower at the Federal Appeals Court. Take the travel ban, for example.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals had actually upheld a nationwide injunction on the first version of the travel ban that the president had announced in January of 2017.
Or lesser-known cases like this one from the Fourth Circuit in North Carolina.
In July 2016, the Fourth Circuit, a court of appeals, struck down North Carolina's voter ID law that critics said it was an effort to depress African-American turnout at the polls. It had required photo ID and it would not allow same-day registration on Election Day, but that law was tossed out by the appeals court.
That's Sung Min Kim, White House reporter for The Washington Post. And the reason why we're talking about these lower courts is because this week, the Senate is set to take up six of President Trump's judicial nominees. And since taking office, the president has been working to fill a record number of judicial vacancies left by the last administration.
You know, when I got in, we had over 100 federal judges that weren't appointed. Now, I don't know why Obama left that. It was like a big, beautiful present to all of us.
That's the president speaking back in March, and so far, the administration has already confirmed more circuit court judges than any of the last five administrations at this point in their terms. Sung Min Kim told me that President Trump should be happy about all the vacancies, but President Obama is the wrong person to thank.
He is completely accurate when he said it's a big, beautiful present to Trump. It wasn't exactly from President Obama. It was actually from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who controls what goes on the Senate floor. And what McConnell engineered was basically a very rapid slowdown of confirmation of judges in the last 2 years of Obama's presidency. What Mitch McConnell does is play that long game, and he wanted to save all these vacancies, particularly in the appellate court, for a future Republican president. Remember, at the time, we weren't sure who the nominee was going to be in 2015 and then in early 2016. But Mitch McConnell's gamble paid off for him, much like it did for when he basically obstructed Merrick Garland's nomination to the Supreme Court. McConnell is the main reason why President Trump came in with so many vacancies in his presidency. I believe on day one, on January 20th, 2017, the president had 108 federal vacancies to fill, and it is now up to just under 150, and that's for district and circuit courts nationwide. So there is a lot of opportunity here for the president to really reshape the courts in a much more conservative direction.
And there are six appeals court nominations that are being heard this week alone. Can you give us a sense quickly of who the six nominees are and what regions they're in?
So there are six who are supposed to get Senate floor votes this week. So there is one from the Fifth Circuit, which is considered one of the most conservative appellate courts. We have three from the Seventh Circuit based in Chicago, one from the Sixth based in Cincinnati, and one from the Tenth out west near in the Colorado region. And they don't seem to be drawing much controversy over their legal views or what they may have said in the past. That's a lot of times what Democrats have pointed to when opposing Trump's judicial nominees. But the one nominee I'm watching who's getting a Senate floor vote this week is Michael Brennan of the Seventh Circuit from Wisconsin. And the reason I'm watching him is because there's been a lot of fight over process in the Senate. And Michael Brennan is one example where Senate Republican leaders have decided to proceed on his nomination with a confirmation hearing and with a confirmation vote on the floor, despite the fact that one of his home state senators, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, who's a Democrat, has not given essentially permission to advance the nomination. There's been this century-old tradition in the Senate called the blue slip rule. What happens is that when there's a judicial nomination from a certain state, the nominee's home state senators send literally a blue slip of paper back to the Senate Judiciary Committee as a sign that says, hey, it's okay to go ahead with this confirmation hearing.
Wait a minute. So we're in 2018 and we're still dealing with blue pieces of paper?
Exactly. It's a very the Senate is a place where we're dealing with blue slips of paper. We vote with pen and paper and thumbs up, thumbs down. The Senate just voted to allow babies on the floor for Senator
Progress.
Tammy Duckworth. Exactly. It's a little slow behind the times, but things are changing.
What about Ryan Bounds in Oregon? You mentioned Brennan, but what about Ryan?
So Ryan Bounds is getting his hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And the reasons why he's so controversial is similar to Brennan, but Democrats say it's even worse because he doesn't have permission from either one of his home state senators to proceed. Ryan Bounds is from Oregon. Neither Ron Wyden nor Jeff Merkley have returned their blue slips to the committee to allow that nomination to proceed. He's a young conservative lawyer, could serve on this appeals court for decades. He has also come under fire for some pretty controversial writings that he had produced while as an undergraduate at Stanford University. I will make clear that Ryan Bounds has apologized for those writings and disavowed those writings, but regardless, Democrats and liberal outside groups working to kill his nomination have pointed to those writings to say that is unacceptable for a lifetime nominee.
Now, the Ninth Circuit Court, which covers California, Hawaii, Alaska, Arizona, and a bunch of other states, has a reputation for being liberal. But they also make some very significant decisions, like striking down President Trump's travel ban. Why does the Trump administration have its eyes set on the Ninth Circuit? And does Bounds' nomination fit in with the rest of the judges on the circuit?
It has its sights on the Ninth Circuit precisely for the reason that you said, because it has stymied so many of his initiatives. We were talking about the travel ban. The district judge in the Ninth Circuit blocked also his sanctuary city's executive order. So that's become a real target of the president's Twitter ire, especially. He's tweeted about the Ninth Circuit at least four times during his presidency. But it's also been a longtime target for conservatives who say, first of all, this region is way too vast. It's the largest in the country. It needs to be broken up simply for the workload alone. But the reason why it does lean so liberal is because it expanded significantly under the Carter administration, and appropriately liberal-leaning judges were appointed during that time. And now conservatives say they're now just starting to kind of course correct the leanings of the Ninth Circuit. And Ryan Bounds, who has a clear conservative track record, he's a member of the Federalist Society, which is the powerful conservative coalition of potential judges and lawyers, clearly certainly fits into that model of what the president is trying to do to the courts.
And if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Sungmin Kim of The Washington Post about the push to fill judicial vacancies under the Trump administration here on The Takeaway. Sungmin, I want to take a step back. Each president has an opportunity to fill judicial vacancies that can essentially reshape the judiciary. And how much has President Trump taken advantage of his political power in this process so far?
He's taken some advantage of it so far, but in terms of where the White House and Senate Republicans have kind of targeted which courts to fill right away, they've actually, instead of trying to turn liberal courts conservative, they've actually, in what they've done so far, is shore up the conservative breakdown of some of these courts. Because if you look at the judges who've been confirmed so far in the first 15 months of the Trump presidency, a lot of them do come from appellate districts where they were already leaning conservative. We're talking about, for example, the 5th District in based in New Orleans, which is considered the most conservative circuit court in the country. A lot of that is just kind of by design. We talked about the blue slip rule earlier this year, and a lot of these conservative states have two Republican senators who are enthusiastically on board with the president's nominees and can subsequently move forward these nominations much more quickly. And that's why he's also kind of been slow going on the Ninth Circuit. And you're hearing that a lot from conservative activists who care about the courts, saying the Ninth Circuit has been liberal for too long, and the president actually has been sitting on his hands a little bit in trying to change it.
What will these six nominees go through? And at the end of the day, what impact is that going to have on the appeals courts should they be approved?
They would have, I mean, each individual appointment to the circuit court can last decades because these are lifetime appointments. What the White House has done is pick out actually people who are younger. You know, we talked about Ryan Bounds earlier. He is only 44 years old and he can serve on the Ninth Circuit Court for a very long time. So it's the fact that these conservative jurists could, you know, make their own stamp on their respective appellate courts for decades that gives the president president such lasting power. Mitch McConnell talks about how he loves the tax law. He's proud of the tax law. But if there is a Democratic Congress, they could easily vote to repeal it or overturn it. But what he's doing to the judiciary will last for generations. And another thing to watch, too, is that a lot of the 15 appellate court judges that the president and Senate Republicans have gotten confirmed this year and last year, a lot are on President Trump's Supreme Court shortlist that he released during the campaign. And so you see how the administration is grooming a lot of these people for a potential Supreme Court vacancy that we're always watching out for, especially this time of year.
Is there a disconnect in what average everyday Americans understand and know about this process and the appellate courts as opposed to what you and I might be more familiar with here? Is there a lack of transparency or understanding in how this process goes through?
There's a lot of that. And also just a lot of what the appeals court does just doesn't get covered because, you know, there are so many decisions. There are 13 appeals courts who are all doing interesting, important, various things. And so much of what the coverage on rightfully is what the Supreme Court does, because obviously the Supreme Court's decisions are the law of the land and they make decisions that last for generations that are monumental changes in how this country functions. But remember, as we talked about earlier, only a tiny, tiny fraction of all legal cases make it to the Supreme Court. About 99% of cases stop at the appellate level. So that's why it is so important for people to get to know kind of the power of the courts. But it's hard to portray that work and kind of show what they're doing day in and day out.
And what else should Americans watch out for or be aware of, should I say, with the Trump administration's impact on the courts going forward?
I think it's just knowing whether you are a supporter of the president and his efforts on the judiciary or whether you're an opponent, just realizing just how much power there is and how much power these individual judges have. And they're already, you're seeing some of his earlier appointees already making an impact in their own respective circuit courts. And a lot of times, since there's so many that are going through the Senate at any given moment, we talked about 15 already being confirmed so far under the Trump presidency and six more this week and next week alone. Oftentimes, there isn't a lot of public vetting unless there is a massive screw up by a judicial nominee during a confirmation hearing. So a lot of times, these judges just don't get a lot of attention. I will fault the news media a lot in that. But I think just kind of paying attention to the impact that each individual people can have, whether they stay on the appeals court or whether they're elevated to the Supreme Court in some way. These people are very powerful and very, you know, especially relative to their power, very unknown.
Sungmin Kim is White House reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.